Blog Talk Radio.
This is the truthaboutchurch.com. We are a Christian lifestyle network. Here you will find the latest in Christian news, scripture, themes that affect the Christian world, and sound teaching. Find out what God has for you here. Enjoy the ride.
Hello, everyone. This is Will, and you're listening to The Truth About Church. And with us today, we have, actually, before we even make the introduction, just Elder Taylor, would you open us up with prayer, please?
Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the integrity of your word on this evening, Father. Your word says that you've magnified your word even above your name. And, Lord, your word says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away, Lord. We give you the glory for your word, Lord. Your word says that your word is health to all of our flesh. Lord, I declare and decree that we would only talk about those things that become sound doctrine on today. And I declare and decree that we will decrease, that thou mightest be increased, O Lord. And that everyone under the sound of our voices would receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Now, joining us today is, as always, Elder Ted Colbert, and it's nice to have two of my closest friends with here, Apostle Dion Hill. How are you gentlemen
God
doing
bless
this,
you.
This evening?
God bless you. Doing well. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. We can hear you.
Now, bless you, Pastor today, Dion. How are you?
Oh, doing well. God bless you. Minister Ted, how are you?
I'm blessed, sir. How are you? Good to hear your voice.
Oh, good to hear your voice, man, God.
Today's topic is an interesting one. We picked a line before it. Hopefully she'll be able to join us sometime during the broadcast. Is on forgiveness. This is something that among ourselves on the team we talked about back and forth.
Okay.
Because one thing we've noticed out here, especially, it's not a Christian matter, it's not a non-Christian matter, it's just a people matter, is unforgiveness. People have a misstep, they don't forgive themselves. People get hurt by another person, they don't want to forgive others. And as we know, anger, carrying around grudges, that stuff not only can affect you spiritually, but it can affect you physically. It can affect your health. It raises stress. What does the Bible say about forgiveness? You hear all sorts. Gentlemen, what are some of the things that we hear when it concerns forgiveness?
Well, one of the things we often hear people say is, "I'll forgive, but I'll never forget." And that statement there says a whole lot. When an individual says, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget, that is saying that I want to remember the pain. I won't forget the pain. You know, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget the pain. I'll always have this in the back of my mind, what you've done to me. So when people say, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget, they're really saying, I won't forgive. Because it's not, and one of the things we need to understand that's so important, men of God, is just, and this is so important that we understand this from a human perspective, that there's things that happen to us in life that can be very, very painful. And the enemy Satan himself is going to try to keep bringing to your remembrance those things that consistently hurt you, or those things that may have hurt you in your past. He has a way of trying to keep those things that may have happened in your life in front of you. So we have to be careful that we don't allow the enemy, when we're trying to get over hurt and pain, to keep those things before us. Recognize, we need to recognize who it is. It's the trick of the enemy. So if we say we forgive, then we ought to allow God to help us not to forget in the sense of forgetting in a natural sense of forgetting, but forgetting in the sense of it is so behind me until it doesn't affect me anymore. And that's the thing that, you know, we need to be mindful of, because the enemy is going to try to remind you of some pain or some traumatic experience that may have caused you to be hurt by an individual or individuals. And when that happens and we ask God to help us to forgive, we cannot be making statements like, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget.
Amen. I was going to say the same thing, Apostle. To forgive, I'll forgive, but I won't forget, is saying that you're still carrying that thing around.
That's it.
The word forgive in the Greek means to release or let go.
Yes, sir.
So if you forgive, according to the definition of the word in the Greek, that means that you released it. You've let it go. So if you say you won't forget, that goes against the integrity of what the word itself means in the Greek, because that means that you're still holding on to it. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen. And we get a benediction right now, because that's telling us the repercussions of not forgiving.
The way some people see things is that they put things in degrees of pain. So whatever transgression a person committed,
right.
Okay, you said something bad about my mama. That's not as bad as, okay, you put your hands on my child, or you put your hands on me, or you went behind my back and committed adultery with my sister or my brother or something. So depending on, my point is, we look at things as big sins, little sins. It's easier to forgive some of the stuff that we deem as little. So we'll discount that and say, well, okay, well, we may even give you a pass on something, depending on who it is. But there's certain things that some people just hold in high regard, that you touch that, there is no forgiveness.
That's it.
And those are the things that we tend, those are things that we tend to let go. One thing I know that most people deal with as far as unforgiveness is stuff within the family. And that's part of the reason why there's so much dysfunction in so many families. Now, we all got some, most of us out here, there's dysfunction in our family. I mean, everyone got a drunk or crazy uncle. Everyone got a drunk or crazy aunt. Not really drunk, but a crazy aunt or the drug addict in the family that they hold it against because that person did something wrong. Or folks get mad about some mess that happened 35, 40 years ago that should have been talked about.
Yeah.
It seems to me that when it comes to unforgiveness, part of the reason unforgiveness exists is because people don't communicate.
Sometimes people have been offended, and that person doesn't even know that they've offended you. And the person that was offended is upset. The person that was offended is upset about the whole scenario, but he might not, but he or she might not, but the person that did the deed might not even be aware that they did it. So what's really bad about unforgiveness is the person that a lot of people have been upset with for 20 years may not even know what they did to upset you. And the other end of that is that person that upset you 20 years ago may have gotten saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, became an apostle, founded 25 churches, you know, and that person has changed since they did whatever they did to you. So forgiveness has a lot of layers, and I think time really has a lot to do with it, because time, because time sometimes just makes people get more angry. One of the ways that you can know that you have not forgiven is if you can think about the incident and you get just as upset about it today as you were, about it when it first happened. That's one of the real ways. Exactly. A lot of people have that problem.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. That's one of the ways we can measure if we are still operating. Excuse me. If we're still operating with unforgiveness in our heart. But I think it's something that is very, very important, brothers, that we establish before we go any further, because this is so pertinent to before we go any further in this discussion on forgiveness. When we look at forgiveness, we have to look at it. We have to recognize that from the biblical perspective, we're talking about believers. This is not talking to the world. The world doesn't have the capacity to be able to forgive like the believer, because the believer has something unique and special. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That means that we have access to God's Spirit to empower us, to help us to be able to forgive. I'm going to make a very bold statement. A believer has no business operating in unforgiveness. Now, that's a very, very powerful, strong, bold statement to say that a believer has no business operating in unforgiveness. Minister, you said something that was very, very key. You talked about forgiveness having layers, but unforgiveness has layers too. That's not to say, and brothers, I'm sure you will agree with me, that's not to say there's not going to be some challenges, some areas where we are challenged with forgiveness. But for the believers, God wants us to understand that he holds us in a different light when it comes to our ability and capacity to be able to forgive. That the Bible is talking to the believer. Because we have access to God's Spirit, we can forgive. I don't care what has happened. I don't care how devastating it may be. We can forgive. And let me just say this. Let me just say this before we also go any further. William, you know this, and Ted, I'm sure you heard about my son being murdered. Not even 6 months ago.
Yes.
My wife and I experienced a unbelievable tragedy, man. We still try to grasp the idea that our son is no longer here on the earth. And it was a tragedy for someone to take his life. I don't wish the pain that we experienced as a result of this. I don't wish that pain on anybody, not even my worst enemy. I don't wish that pain on anybody. And when it first happened, men of God, I'm telling you, the pain was so excruciating to the point where I literally felt like taking a gun and going and look for the individuals that killed my son.
Yeah.
Now, here it is. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, a leader in the household of faith, a pastor, a leader, and here it is. I'm hurting so bad, and I'm so angry because my son has been murdered, and his life has been taken from him for no reason at all. And I was so angry about it. And I felt so hurt by it that I struggled with forgiving the individuals who took my son's life. But this is why it's so important for us to recognize that the Bible is talking to believers. Because in the midst of all of that pain, and even the pain that we're still experiencing as a result of this tragedy, the Lord has, by his Spirit, given me the capacity to be able to forgive these young men who took my son's life. I may never speak to them. I may never get a chance to look them in the face. But in my heart, I've forgiven them. And in my heart, and I prayed for them because I know that their soul is at stake. And so, again, this subject or this topic that we're talking about with forgiveness, we're talking to the believers because we can't tell unbelievers this because they don't have the capacity to forgive and they don't have what we have. We have the Spirit of God to help us to be able to forgive.
Amen. Apostle, I heard and I have been praying for you because I know that was wrong. I know. And
yeah.
One of the statements that you made was one that I was about to make too, was that all the scriptures, I'm going to share another one, Ephesians 4, 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So that's Ephesians 4:32. So you see kindness and forgiveness going hand in hand, but then a lot of these scriptures about forgiveness, particularly in the New Testament, ties it up to us remembering that Christ has forgiven us. So we seem to see that tie in there. The other thing, Pastor Dan, that you said that I was getting ready to say also was that the Bible is written to the believer. So all of these scriptures on forgiveness in the Bible, particularly New Testament-wise, are written to the believer. Because as you just talked so articulately, the unregenerate man, the unsaved man, doesn't even have the capacity to forgive. And the only reason why we can is because we do have the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us.
That reminds me, sorry for jumping, that reminds me of one scripture in particular when I brought up earlier about one of the things that causes unforgiveness is lack of communication. Matthew 18:15, I'm paraphrasing Matthew 18:15, but Matthew 18:15 tells you someone sins against you, and I'm translating as someone did you wrong, someone you have issue with, you are to go and talk to them about it.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to bury things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean just petty stuff. Something petty is not worth mentioning. That's one thing. But there are some people who just, you figure, well, maybe that person will know. I'm going to let them sit back. I'm the type where I was like, okay, I'm going to let this one slide. I'm going to see if they see this not come up again. But some people don't know when. They don't know when's enough. They don't know when to stop themselves. And they'll keep going on offending over and over again. And what happens, you forget to ever go talk to that person. So now you're just mad at
it. Yep.
You're just going to carry around anger and frustration when Matthew 18:15 says, hey, you should have went and talked to this person to start with. And so we have to, and it all has to do with accountability for being a Christian, especially if you are a leader in any community, that being the one you live in or the church community. Especially if you are a leader, you are being held to a higher standard.
Yes.
If
the Bible says that judgment
is to atone for the world, then you have to take that seriously and not let things just linger. Not let things see unforgiveness and not communicating. It's like having a sore, and if a sore lasts too long, it turns what? It gets infected. That infection can lead to gangrene. Next thing you know, stuff gets cut off. And this, our listening audience, this is why people leave church, is because you have people who have gotten angry about something that they didn't like and wasn't said, and they're looking at, well, I'm a Christian, yeah, Christian, how this happened? And then that sore, that wound festers, and then they cut themselves off from the rest of the community.
Right, yeah.
And I only mention that as an analogy because, there, as I talk about all the time, there are too many people that are leaving the faith. Too many people that are leaving Christianity to just stay home, or they become Muslims, or they become Buddhists, or they become atheists. And they come on Blog Talk, and they end up hosting shows on Blog Talk, and they do what? Talk about how jacked up Christianity is.
So we
end up getting cannibalized from within, when really the root cause of the whole issue is two things. Errant teaching, unforgiveness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Again, even back to, you know, what I said, you know, mentioning about, you know, the pain that I felt as it related to my son. Now, brothers, I'm telling you, had this happened at a time in my life before I met Christ, I can't tell you I would be in the position or the place that I'm in. And this is why it's so important that we come to know Jesus, that we come to know him in our personal relationship. We come to know him and have a personal relationship with him, because only our relationship with the Lord can help us through those difficult times in life. So without knowing the Lord, I could not have overcome that type of grief and pain without responding in my flesh. The Bible says that anger rests in the bosoms of fools. So we don't want to be foolish and allow anger to fester. William, that's kind of what you were talking about. I needed to get that off of me. And so thank God for prayer, you know, having the ability to pray and cry out to God. And not just be religious. I'm not talking about just a religious kind of prayer, but I'm talking about praying and saying, God, I'm angry. God, I'm upset. You know, God, I feel like blowing somebody's brains out. Being able to pray, because he already knows our thoughts even before we think them. The Bible tells us that he knows our thoughts even before we think them. So he already knows what we're thinking. But so it's for us. It's our way of release, our way of being able to cry out and get that stuff off of us. That's why he said, cast all of your cares upon me, for I care for you, says the Lord. So we cast all of that upon him. We get it out through prayer. Prayer is our way of venting. All we have to do is read the Psalms. We see oftentimes the psalmist venting through the Psalms and a way of relief and getting that off of them. So thank God that we as believers, we have things that God has left us in his word to help us to be able to overcome situations and circumstances that will try to breed a seed of bitterness.
Yes, the Bible says that he's given us exceeding great and precious promises by which we've escaped the world through lust. And you mentioned, William, earlier that those of us that are saved have a higher responsibility. We have more is expected of us, and that's why the Bible says that judgment must first begin at the house of God.
Yes.
Also, I did a teaching on this a while ago, actually a few times, and the Lord gave me something very interesting. He told me that since the word to forgive basically means to release or send away. So what I got was, if you don't release it or send it away and you haven't forgiven, then that means that you still got that thing and you're still carrying it around with you.
That's it.
And God gave me the analogy of somebody that you dislike a whole lot,
and they did something to really upset you and offend you, and you've been carrying it around for years, but because you haven't let it go, that person goes with you everywhere you go because you have not, what, released them. They're with you when you go to the bathroom. If you go to church, they're right there with you, hooked up with you. Because if you don't forgive, that means you haven't released. And if you haven't released, that means that they're with you. I ministered this to a few people who had problems with forgiveness, and it seemed to work for them because, you know, they didn't want to be carrying around this person that they dislike so much, but they're with you. You look at them there, you don't see them, but you carry them around with you. So I wanted to share that with you. If you don't forgive, you're actually still carrying that person and the thing that they did to you around with you everywhere you go, because to forgive means to release or send away. So if you don't release it or send it away, you still got it. And what's interesting, I'm sorry, go on.
One thing I want to ask you to, since you two happen to have the privilege of going before people and teaching them on a regular basis, is this. Can you explain to the audience that will hear this how unforgiveness will hold you back from accomplishing what you are supposed to accomplish in your life?
Yes, very simply, the scripture that I shared last time out of Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." So, carrying that burden, that anger around, I believe Proverbs says, with a furious man, don't go in with him. So that anger and that hurt that you're carrying around can keep you from your destiny because of it. Because some people are just tied up. And this is what the enemy wants. Some people get so mad about what somebody did to them that they don't go any further. And they stay right there. It may have happened 20 years ago, but they got spiritual paralysis, if you will. And they stay in that same spot for 20 years. And all the things that they could have done or should have done for God, they don't do it because they feel sorry for themselves. God gave me an analogy a few years ago about the twin brothers that both got hit in the mouth with a baseball bat. Both of them got their teeth knocked out. One of them went to the mirror and looked and said, "Oh, woe is me. Why did they hit me in the mouth with that bat? Now my mouth is all messed up, roots hanging down, the teeth being knocked out. Why did they do that?" And he just sat and looked in the mirror. He just sat there, paralyzed, angry, hurt. 10 years later, he's still thinking, "Why did he hit me in the mouth with that bat?" Now the other twin, who got hit in the mouth just like that with a similar bat, he went. But the other twin was saved. He looked in the mirror. He said, He took himself to the orthodontist. Come on, somebody. Got them teeth fixed. Got over that. And now he's an apostle that's planted about 30 churches. The same thing happened to both of them, but you have different reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of them had the Holy Spirit moving in his life and the other one didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a very good analogy. Apostle Dion, can I ask that?
Well, the Bible says this, and this is a very, very important scripture. It says that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And the reason why unforgiveness is so dangerous, listen to this. This is so powerful. Because the thing that our life, we are walking, living epistles, read of men. Our lives is a representative of the Word of God. We're not, we are now, we are considered the living Word.
Yeah.
Jesus left us here to be a living expression of God, walking, breathing in the earth. That's why Christ is the head of the church. We are his body. And therefore, we are to carry on and to respond and live like somebody had a bumper sticker or a T-shirt and said, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
So we are to be the examples of that. So how would Jesus deal with an individual who had hurt him? And that's what the scripture says, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That means that God cannot be seen in the midst of your anger or your unforgiveness. This is why unforgiveness is so dangerous for the believer, because people will never be able to see God in you.
Yeah.
They'll never be able to see God in us if we are walking around holding and harboring unforgiveness in our heart, because what will happen is the enemy will always put you in a situation where people will be able to see you and say, look, see, he's supposed to, or she's supposed to be a Christian. And look how they cussing, you know, because, you know, when you get angry like that and when you've been, your back has been put against the wall and you're already harboring unforgiveness in your heart, and now the enemy set circumstances and situations for you to respond to, somebody is always watching. So God wants us to understand, as believers, the reason why unforgiveness is so dangerous for the believer is because our life is a life of witness. Our life is always supposed to be testifying of his goodness and his existence. And we can't do that if we're harboring unforgiveness in our heart. It's always going to be a tool or a weapon that the enemy will consistently use against us. And it's so sad. And Brother Ted, I'm sure, and William, I'm sure that you guys can understand it from this perspective. It's a dangerous thing. How miserable is it for us to be in the household of faith, in a place where we're supposed to be worshiping God, and somebody walk in that we're mad at, and it changed our whole spirit? I've seen people worship because somebody walked in the room that they have an ought with. That thing is so dangerous. Unforgiveness is so dangerous because it's like a cancer. Here it is, one member or one person in the body of Christ has a problem with another person in the body of Christ, and the next thing you know, one of them has put that same spirit on somebody else who had nothing to do with it. Now you got two or three people operating in this whole seed of bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment. All of that is all packaged up together, and now you got that thing spreading, and it started as a seed of unforgiveness. And now it has manifested as bitterness, anger, resentment, and all of these other things start to fester as a result of the seed of unforgiveness that was harbored in the heart of maybe one individual, and that thing spread through the congregation. That's why it's so dangerous, Lee.
Yeah. The Bible says that we're supposed to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and Proverbs also says that grievous words stirreth up anger. We also have to keep in mind the enemy's place in this. We tend to forget that the devil has known us for a long time. He's known us before we got saved. And guess what, brothers? He knows what gets us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the stuff that makes us mad. And guess what the devil's going to try to do? He's going to try and get people to push that button. I preached a message one time. Mm-hmm. I call it button number 37. And that deals with how the devil knows what button to push with each one of us.
Yeah.
And he gets somebody to push that button, bam, and it's all over. Nothing else bothers you particularly, but just that one thing, and the devil knows it, and he's going to have somebody come and press that button. And that'll be the grievous word that'll stir up anger.
We know it, Ted. Mm-hmm. I want to know about buttons 1 through 36, but we can get into that another time.
We don't have time, William.
I know. We'll get another time. One thing about forgiveness I know is that you all mentioned how it spreads like wildfire, and we all are guilty of this at some point, at one time or another in our lives. You'll tell anybody. I know I've been guilty of this. You'll tell anybody, and you may be validated, and you may be right in how you feel, justified in feeling the way you do, but you'll tell that story to anybody who got ears and willing to listen.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. You're absolutely
people,
right.
There'll be other people that will get angry because they love you or they know the other person. Like, yeah, that was wrong. They should, so-and-so should know better.
And,
the situation
exactly. And they'll get
wrong.
Mad about it, too.
Would normally get
so
mad
now
you
got
it.
Two angry people.
The situation
yeah.
will get resolved. The situation will get resolved, and guess what? That person you told, still angry. Nothing you
yep,
say, nothing you can say about the other person, whatever that other person will never be right now as well. You know they trifling anyway. What can you expect from that even? So-and-so. This is why we talked about last week, a couple weeks ago on our show, broadcast, about not letting the sun set on your anger. This is why.
That's right.
Time is of the essence. If you have an issue, especially if it involves hurt feelings, this is why you must resolve that thing as quickly as possible.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You see movies about people where they were friends all the time, where they were friends and something happened, saw something, forget somebody get hurt, somebody died. Now you never had a chance to forgive that person while they were alive. You never had that chance to even have that discussion to talk about what happened. So then you end up having long-time friends, stay in communication, all because of a misunderstanding. But the next point I want to bring up for the second half of our show is this. There's another myth about God in the sea of putting things in the sea of forgetfulness. And one thing I found funny about that is, for God who doesn't forget anything, how can that possibly be a sea of forgetfulness? But the other half of that is also not forgiving yourself, which we tend to forget is not the right thing to do. It's not the godly thing to do either.
Right.
A lot of us find it easier to forgive others before we forget, but we won't forgive ourselves.
Yeah, and before we go there, let me share this quick story with you guys because I think this is such a powerful story. We saw the power of God with their story. One day, one of the sisters in the ministry was ill, and she was at home unable to walk. And a couple of the ministers, along with the assistant pastor, we all decided we were going to get together and go visit the sister and pray for her. And, you know, when we got to the house, she was in a bed, and we went in the room, and she was happy to see us. And we began to pray for her. And in the midst of the prayer, one of the men of God said, "Sister, the Lord just told me the reason you are on this bed is because you have unforgiveness in your heart.
Yes,
and God has been, telling you to forgive, and you won't forgive." And men of God, this woman broke down and cried like a newborn baby.
Yeah.
And we're all sitting there, and the man of God said to her, "Who is it that you need to forgive?" Now listen to this, because just listen to this. He says, "Who is it that you need to forgive?" She said, "My sister." And he says, "Your sister?" He said, "The only sister that I know you have is dead." Her sister had died. And
Lord,
she was still holding something that happened between her and her sister. And her sister was dead, and she was still harboring unforgiveness in her heart.
Lord have mercy.
And when she released that thing, men of God, God is my witness, when she released that thing in that room on her sick bed, she got up out of that bed and started walking.
Yes, yes.
This is how dangerous unforgiveness is. It literally caused her to not be able to walk because she held all of those things in, mad with her sister that she never got a chance to even say all of the things that she wanted to say to her sister about how angry she was with her for some things that she had done to her. And though the sister is dead and gone, she's still holding it in, wishing she had an opportunity to tell her a piece of her mind.
Yeah.
It's this kind of stuff that goes on throughout society every day, and people don't even know why they are suffering and they are struggling and why they're being tormented in their minds, all because a seed of bitterness turned into resentment, which turned into hatred, which turned into unforgiveness.
Which manifested itself in a physical illness.
Yes, yes.
Apostle, that is so important. William hit on it earlier. I've heard it taught sometimes ladies with female problems.
Yeah.
That this comes about because of unforgiveness. I've also heard it taught that sometimes arthritis is manifested because someone wouldn't forgive someone else. So there's no doubt that unforgiveness is the enemy. Like I said, the Bible says the grievous word stirs up anger. It's the enemy who knows the stuff that gets you upset, and then he moves on somebody to do or say that thing that upsets you, and then we have a whole thing started that may even go so far as that anger going into unforgiveness and then manifesting itself as an illness in your flesh. And that's horrible, and that's all the devil's plan too. Micah 7:19, one of the things that I've learned in my years being saved is you hear scriptures or you hear scriptures quoted, and they don't quite quote them right. And so you go to your stories and you try to find it and you can't find it. And let's talk about the sea of forgetfulness, William. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That, brothers, Micah 7:19, that's the verse that people use to talk about he threw it all in the sea of forgiveness. There is no scripture. I reiterate, there is no scripture in the Bible. If you don't believe it, go to your strong and look up forgetfulness. And you won't see nothing. You won't see nothing about a sea of forgetfulness because that's not in there.
It sounds good. Don't sound poetic.
It sounds real good. But Micah 7:19, for our listeners who want to know about that, and I'm sure all of us have heard that, but I want everybody to know that it's not quite like that in the Bible. It's
read that scripture again. Read that one more time.
It's Micah 7:19, and it's talking about God. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea.
So really the idea behind this is God's going to cover their sins. He's going to cover their sins. And we know that God covers. What covers our sins but the blood of Jesus? It washes it away. It covers it.
Yes.
And so,
the whole scripture is an analogy. The whole scripture is actually a metaphor.
Yes.
It's a metaphor. That's it.
Because when you throw something in the sea, in the depths of the sea, unless you got a Baptist fit or something, you can't go get it.
That's it. It's gone. That simply means that God will not allow that thing to be held against you any longer. But it's not to say he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness, as if he doesn't remember. But God will not allow that to be a thing that will be held against you, and you will be judged for it. Yeah.
But I want to make sure that our listeners knew.
Where that whole idea comes from. Yeah.
Where it comes from, number one. And number two, I want everyone to know that there is no verse in the Bible that says it like that. But that's the verse that people use when they say he threw it in the sea of forgiveness. So they kind of change that around a little bit. So I just wanted to share that with you. One of the things that I love about the Word of God is as you go further in it, you'll get more revelation of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
one of the things that I begin to realize more and more is that you can read scriptures, maybe you taught them or preached them, and then one day the Lord will have you go to that section in the Bible, and you'll see something completely different that you've never seen before. And that's one of the things that I love about the Word of God. When you talk about God, when the blood is applied to anything, it covers. It's the blood,
that's
as you said, Fafa, it's the blood that covers. I heard a preacher preach years ago that God does not look through, will not look through the blood. So if the blood is covering something, then God isn't gonna see it or respond to it because the blood's covered.
That's it. Just as the blood was over the doorpost of the house of the Israelites when the night that the death angel passed over those houses where the blood was applied. And so the blood is a covering.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a teaching on that probably pretty soon. Exactly what you're talking about. Hmm?
It's the season for it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But with the unforgiveness, it
is so important that, and William, this is where the tormenting part comes in, brothers, is when you get to a place, and I'm sure our listeners, there's somebody that can attest to this or even feel what I'm about to say. Guys, I'm sure you guys have even experienced this yourselves, that it seems like when you get to the point where you feel like you've forgiven and you pass something, but the enemy does something to cause that thing to come back up.
And now you're being
tormented by it all over again, like it's tormenting you.
Button number 37. That's it again.
Yeah. And the thing is tormenting you, and what will happen sometimes, then that thing is turned around where you're struggling with not just forgiving as it relates to whatever the incident was, but you are struggling with forgiving yourself and letting yourself get past it. Like, it's really over, but you can't even forgive yourself. Like, you can't even forgive yourself the way you reacted. Yeah, it hurt you. Yeah, that person hurt you. Yeah, you cussed them out or whatever. And now you're struggling with forgiving yourself for maybe the way you responded, the way you carried out, the way you dealt with the whole situation. So sometimes, the as you said, William, we have to also deal with forgiving others, but we have to deal with forgiving ourselves.
And that can be so difficult. That can be so difficult, especially if you are on your walk and you're trying to do things the right way and you fall short, and what it turns into is self-condemnation.
Yes, it does. And that is something that
I know in my time in ministry over the years, I've seen that play out over and over again. And maybe this is not just this. I'm really speaking to the leaders out here, those who are in ministry, because it is people like us that I find tend to really be hard on themselves. Actually, I find two things happen. Spiritual leaders either beat themselves up too much when they make a mistake, or they don't acknowledge a mistake, or they just don't give a darn. I see one of those things. So you happen to have two extremes, and neither one in this case are good. Anytime you have something that's usually extreme, you've gone overboard, and it's not a good thing. And so, when you hear about a pastor do something wrong, it's the one, you get people who get incensed who will never forgive that pastor, and people tend to forget that pastor, that evangelist, that leader, whomever, They're human just like you. They happen to have problems.
Exactly.
They happen to have problems, and everyone falls short. Everyone can't be in the spirit 100% of the time. No one is in the spirit 100% of the time. So it just goes to show that as long as you are on this earth and you are human, their leaders are vulnerable to the same things everyone else is.
Yeah.
That pastor
Well, no, I was just going to say, here's the thing that's important for us to know as it relates to that. The Bible says we're resident in two places. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. So we have access to heaven, as believers. That's why the Bible tells us to set our affection on things that are above and not on things that are beneath. But we also have to recognize that we are spiritual beings living out a natural expression of that. And so we still have to deal with the natural, even though our minds are renewed to a spiritual existence and to a spiritual reality, we also have to deal with the natural reality. So that's why Jesus tells the disciples, when you pray in this manner, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we still have to deal with the natural reality, and I think sometimes if we're not careful, depending upon how we've been trained biblically in our understanding of, the natural, sometimes if we happen to make a mistake, we sometimes we feel like, we've missed it, and the enemy will come at that time and try and bring condemnation and say, see, you're supposed to be saved. Now, why you do that? And here comes the devil to play with your mind, to try and get you to torment your mind with a mistake or a fault that you may find yourself in. And the scriptures leave room for us. The scriptures, brothers, you all know, the scriptures leave room for us. The scripture says, if a brother or sister be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So if God leaves us room, not that we willfully sin. We're not talking about willful sinning here. We're not talking about deliberately sinning, but understanding that in this natural, we are going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. Because listen, it says wide is the gate and broad is the road which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So that lets us know that it's easy to make a mistake. Jesus says you ain't even got to do it; you can think it.
Yeah.
He says, you've heard it said, if a man look upon, if a man touch a woman, he's sinned. He said, but I say unto you, if you look upon her and lust in your heart, you've already sinned.
Yeah.
So we can, we have to understand that we're still living out a natural expression, and there's going to be times where we may err. And if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father who
Jesus
is making
Christ
a confession for us. Jesus Christ the righteous, making intercession for us. So we see, this is why the devil, this is why the devil can play with Christians and keep them operating in unforgiveness and not forgiving themselves from some sin or something that they may have fallen into. He can play with them because they don't know the word.
Yeah. Apostle, that's fantastic. I love the word that's in you.
It is.
You were quoting Galatians 6:1, when you said, brethren, if a man be overtaken on a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. But right behind that, it finished out the scripture, it says, considering thyself.
That's it.
Lest thou also be tempted.
Yeah.
So that's very important, too, because if you consider yourself, like Galatians 6:1 says, it'll be a lot easier for you.
My God.
To restore somebody else.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
The Bible also says that our conversation is in heaven. And that word conversation in the Greek means citizenship. So that's telling us that our citizenship is in heaven. So as you were teaching so articulately, Apostle, we are citizens of two worlds.
That's it.
Our citizenship is in heaven. but we walk down here on the earth. And I guess that's why, if you translate it, where the Bible says, what we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. But a better translation from the original says, what you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And what mm-hmm. you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. That shows the duality, if you will, of our existence, heavenly and earthly.
My God. Yes, sir. Go ahead, William.
One thing I wanted to get to when handling things, when someone does wrong you. Yes, that person may have deserved a good old-fashioned Southern cussing out. Yes, that person may have deserved a good James Arnett-like backhand slap.
William!
Yes, Ted. My point is, they may have deserved all that. There's a better way to handle it.
Yes, sir.
There's a much better way to handle it. Think about it. What if there is a person that you've been trying to witness to, and you're finally making traction, and they're like, wait a minute, I heard that someone did so-and-so, and you just hauled off and just backhanded them, you know, to the next room, whatever. You just lost your witness. Now, granted, there are times
destroyed your witness.
Right. There are times when a backhand is absolutely necessary, but that's not for every situation. There's times when stern speech, I'm not going to say cuss now because they ain't never, you know, called for that. There's times when stern speech might be necessary, but you have to about who is watching you, because you might be the only, your life might be the only Bible that person sees.
That's right.
And so if someone knows that you have been wrong, and they see that you handle it with a godly grace, you will go win people. I remember someone, this wise man, told me, if you really want to forgive someone and heal, take someone that you disagree with and try to argue their perspective.
That's good.
Argue the other person's case. That's what a very wise person had told me. Actually, Apostle, that was you that told me that. So you had forgotten about that. You had told shared that with me when I was dealing with someone who had wronged me, and I wanted to go ahead and issue a said James Arnett like backhand slap to this person. I didn't, only because
I remember.
He, like, consider that point, put your switchblades down, stay home, don't go do anything that you got to go and repent for, and you end up beating yourself up and not forgiving yourself for what you might do for this person, to this person who wronged you. That saved me a lot of pain. That freed me because
Amen.
I was able to forgive that
Amen.
Person. I was able to move. Amen. I was able to move forth on with life and let it go. And that's the
so
whole
you wouldn't
point
have to forgive.
Where,
so you wouldn't have to forgive yourself, huh?
We wouldn't have to pay bail money. With a few things, we have to forgive myself. Wouldn't have to pay bail money, and wouldn't have to ask for forgiveness.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
And so,
that's
in
it.
The last few, we got 90 seconds left. Just want to close with Apostle Dion and Elder Ted's final thoughts, and I'll turn it over to you, gentlemen.
Final thoughts, real quick. You know, again, for those who may be listening. In and of yourself, you can't. There are some things that you may not be able to overcome in terms of hurt and pain and anger and bitterness. But ask for it. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord can help you. The Holy Spirit can empower you to be able to overcome any situation or circumstance that you may be facing that may be difficult in your life.
Yes. The Bible says, let your light so shine among men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We,
yes,
as saints and leaders in ministry, have to be very careful of getting angry and mad and expressions of anger, because people are watching us. They're watching us all the time, waiting for one of us to slip up.
That's right.
So it can get in the newspaper, so it can whatever, depending on the size of your ministry and the size of your realm of influence. So you have to be careful of your lifestyle, and remember that people are watching you, and you have a responsibility to carry yourself in a godly manner so that you won't cause other people's faith to waver.
Amen.
Just would like to thank you two for coming on. Thank our listeners and supporters out there. This will be up on the blog. Apostle Leon, would you share with the audience where you can be found on social media and also where your church is located?
The church is located 4727 South Wabash, Chicago, Illinois. That's 4727 South Wabash on the south side of Chicago. If you would like to know more about our ministries, you can go to consumingfirekingdomministries.org and go to our website, get any information. You can contact us through our website, and we pray that you will find something on our website that will pique your interest.
And we'd like to thank you for that. Also, we plan to have him here more often, because he is an amazing person. He's a good friend and also an excellent teacher. And as always, you're all familiar with Elder Ted. So just want to say, pray for someone. Be a blessing not only to yourself, but also to the kingdom of God. Go do God's work. So on behalf of Apostle Dion, Elder Ted, I'd like to say God bless you. See you next time.
Bless you.